Good morning and welcome. Welcome in the strong name of Jesus. It is good to see each one of you here today. We are here to praise God for his faithfulness, the way that he carries us when we are weak, the way that he encourages us when we are down, the way that he walks alongside of us every day in this journey of life. His love is beyond what we can even begin to fathom. So praise God with all of your hearts this morning. Isaiah 25:1. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have accomplished wonders. Plans formed long ago, your perfect faithfulness. God in his wisdom has been at work, is at work, and will continue to work in our lives because he is faithful. Praise God for his faithfulness this morning. His faithfulness through the good times and the bad times. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithful love and mercy that you shower down on us. There is no situation that we face that is beyond your knowledge and your control. There is not a single moment that we are alone. You are there walking alongside of us. Praise you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to gather and worship your holy name. Lord, I lift up the leaders of our nation. I pray that you would lead them and guide them, open their eyes and their ears to see you and hear you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll invite you to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
Better than you. Oh, there's no.
This time for this morning's offering, and there's also the My Coins count for the kids.
Speaks a better word than all the empty claims heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word. For me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood.
Okay, let us pray. So, Father, this morning we just ask you join us completely. Just fill each one of us with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. We ask you fill this room, this building, fill it with your presence, that we each feel you. Guide us, direct us. I also pray just a blessing over this, everything that was given this morning. May it bless our pastors and leaders. Bless them as they do work hard and they continue to challenge us. So bless them for that, Father. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pouring me to overflow. For our hearts give up He's the Lord. His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more, stronger than darkness. He lavished on us. His blood was the payment. His life was the cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is
thank you for the opportunity to come here this morning, gather as a body of believers and worship you. And just want to pray for Tony this morning, that you would bless him, speak through him, and that you would prepare our hearts to hear from you this morning. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Some of you don't seem awake yet. Are you guys enjoying your summer?
Yes.
Yes. Are you ready for school to start?
Yes.
We have a lot of yeses and a few no's, so I can understand that. I was usually not ready for summer to be over as a kid. So this morning we're going to look at what it means to do the right thing. And we're going to look at King Saul, his son Jonathan, and David this morning. And usually when we are supposed to do the right thing, there are times when it's not very easy. It's hard and it takes a lot of effort. So we have King Saul. The people wanted a king, and so God pointed them to King Saul. Unfortunately, he didn't do what God told him to do, and he didn't follow everything that God told him to do. So God tells Samuel, go and anoint David as king. But they already have a king, but he's supposed to anoint another king. Some time goes by, and Saul gets angry at David, and he tries to kill him. And some more time goes by, and Saul became angry again, and he wanted to kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, helped David, because David was his good friend, and he knew that David didn't do anything wrong. And so that's why he helped him. And he knew that God was calling him to be king. Jonathan, he went to his... There's David and Jonathan. Jonathan went to his father to find out if he really wanted to hurt David or not. Jonathan told his father that he would excuse David from this banquet, and if Saul gets mad, then he knows he's going to try to kill him. Well, Saul got angry because he wanted to kill David. So Jonathan went and told David the information that he had found out. See, Jonathan was going to be the next king because his father was king. So it was really not in Jonathan's best interest to go and help David, because that meant that Jonathan could not be the king. But Jonathan knew that God had a plan and that God had anointed David to be the next king. So Jonathan and David, they had this plan that David would go hide and Jonathan would come, and depending on the directions he would give the boy as he shot his arrows, that would tell David whether or not he was supposed to run away or he was supposed to stay where he was, or he could come back and be with the king. Why did Jonathan tell David? I mean, it cost him his chance at being king. For one, he was his friend, and it was the right thing to do. There'll be times in our lives when we will be faced with doing the right thing or not. And it may cost us, just like it cost Jonathan. He wasn't going to be king if David was. But he did the right thing. James 4:17, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So in our daily lives, when we know what the right thing to do is and we don't do it, that's a sin. So just remember, always do the right thing, even when it might seem to be very difficult. God is there walking with you. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you may have a snack and head back to your seats. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless these children. I pray that you will help them to do the right thing every day, and help us as well to do that. Help these children just to follow you each day, and I pray that they would come to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning, worshiping God together. I would like to thank you as a congregation for spending time in prayer this past week, for the discernment team and the candidates involved with our associate pastor search. I'd like to thank Pastor Larry for his message starting our series 2 weeks ago and his challenge for us to check the temperature of our relationship with Jesus. I felt it was very important for Eric to share part of his testimony after I heard about it from Pastor Brian Martin from Weaverland. If you weren't here and you didn't go online to listen to it or watch it, I encourage you to do so. I was I was truly blessed by Eric's sharing. And I'd just like to thank Eric for his vulnerability that he shared last Sunday. My respect for him has grown. It has not diminished because of his story. And while I'm on the topic of testimonials and sharing them, I have a few opportunities for you to share yours. If you have a testimony of how God has worked in your life and you want to share it with the rest of us to encourage us, just like our Bishop Eric had done last Sunday, please come talk to me and I'll make room for you the very next Sunday to share. I want to make opportunity for people to share what God is doing in their lives. It can be simple. It doesn't have to be life-altering, but if it is, we really want to hear about that. It grows our relationships together, and you might speak into someone else's life as you share. Second, I want to call your attention to the note in the bulletin from the Service Planning Committee. We are looking for testimonies of how God's Word spoke to you as you walked through something difficult. Maybe God answered the question that you had, or He gave you encouragement that you needed at the perfect time when you needed it as you were searching and reading His Word. And I'll give you a few minutes to write them down on a Connect card. There's some instructions in your bulletin on that at the end of our service, and you can just drop those cards in a box at the back or the front of the church on your way out. If you need more time to write more and you would like to share in front of everybody, it can be scary, but I encourage you to do that. Please make a note on there for that. And if you need more time, take it. Take it home, write it out, pray about it, and you have until September 10 to turn something in or contact me. If you have any questions, please see me. Here's an example for you. Teresa and I were in the discernment process of, is God calling me to the associate pastor role? Teresa was reading a certain passage of Scripture, and God just used that to answer that question. He pulled it right out and showed it to her, and He answered that question. Yes, He's calling us into ministry. And the neat part about that same passage of Scripture, God used that same passage, different verses, to show Teresa that He was calling us into full-time ministry. So those are just an example for you to think about and pray about, and give you some time later to write those down. Our message this morning is going to look at the letter written to the Church of Smyrna and part of the one written to Pergamum, and we'll cover the rest next Sunday. John is having a vision from God while he's being exiled on the island of Patmos. John hears a loud voice telling him to write down what he sees and send the letters to the seven churches. This letter to the Church of Smyrna is very powerful for us. And I'm going to start by reading Revelation 1. And this is where John hears a loud voice and describes the one speaking to him. Revelation 1:17-19. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he laid his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write what you have seen, what is and what will take place after this." So why is this important? Well, the one speaking to John is Jesus. Jesus is declaring his eternal status. He is not created. He's not created by God. He is God. Jesus is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we know that Jesus is speaking because he died on the cross and was placed in the tomb, and he was raised again from the dead, conquering sin and death for all of us. Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades. He has defeated them. This is important because it directly fits into the letter written to Smyrna in Revelation 2:8-11. Write to the angel of the church of Smyrna, thus says the first, the last, and the one who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and poverty, but you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison to test you, and you will experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will never be harmed by the second death. This says the first and last. That's Jesus. The one who was dead and came to life. That is Jesus. He is revealing his authority to us. He is showing us his power. Jesus is also revealing his closeness to us. He's not this deity that is far away and doesn't care about his followers. He is the one true living God, and all else is nothing. Jesus knows what we are going through. He cares about us. Jesus is showing us that when we face affliction, he knows about it. He knows about every single detail. And he is telling them that they are rich even though they are living in poverty. Wait a minute. How can they be rich if they're living in poverty? Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy and thieves will break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart of the people of Smyrna is being revealed to us as faithful. They are rich in heaven because that is where they are storing up their reward. Not in earthly things. Their heart is focused on Jesus, not money, wealth, prestige, or power. That's not what they're striving for. Their heart is focused on Jesus. And this church, they are being slandered because of their faith. There's false teachers who are not following God, even though they tell everyone that they are. They make these claims. Jesus, he is encouraging them for their faithfulness. So far. Yet what he says next takes it to another level. Their faithfulness is not done yet. There's still more to come. The devil is about to bring persecution to the church. Jesus tells us that some people will be put into prison. They will experience affliction for a certain time. It's not going to be unending. This is to test their faithfulness. Are they fully committed to Jesus? Jesus encourages them to be faithful to death, to the end. And if they are faithful, he will give them a crown of life. And when God says something, it comes to pass. We can take him at his word. So how does this apply to us? Well, we need to ask ourselves some questions and look at this from our perspective. Where does our heart lie? Is it in the world or is our treasure in heaven? Are we faithfully following Jesus with all of our hearts? Is there any false teaching among us? We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. Are we ready to face the persecution that is coming? We need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Jesus says the one who conquers will never be harmed by the second death. And when we stand for Christ, And do not give in to persecution, prison, physical death, greed, power, wealth, false teaching, that we will not be harmed. That word conquer is used. It's more than just standing up against something. I just envision a fight where the enemy is wiped out. You go and you're going to conquer something. You're going to go in and you're going to take charge and you're going to rule over it. Not just passively stand by and give in to something. That's why we are given the armor of God. We are in a fight for our lives. Our eternal life is in the balance. And we need to be prepared for that fight every day. And when we win the fight, we will not face eternal death. Being separated from God forever, our bodies may die. But our soul and our spirit will live forever with Jesus because we stood the test. We conquered through faith in Jesus. We did not give in. We stood up against the persecution. Our faith in Jesus, that He is our Lord and our Savior. Listen to Revelations 21, 1 to 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and He will live with them, and they will be His peoples. And God Himself will be with them, and they will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no more grief, crying, pain will be no more. Because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, adulterers and liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Our reward can be with Jesus forever if we remain faithful. Are our lives surrendered to Jesus and His will? Or do we have to do our own will? Are we ready to conquer? Not just passively stand up against something, but are we ready to fight and win every day? Are we prepared for the battle to come? Is our faith firmly planted in Jesus? There are times when we are discouraged and hurting, and life hits us with things that just beat us down. But every day, we should strive, like the Church of Smyrna, to faithfully follow Jesus, to not give in, to live a life that follows Jesus to the end. The letter to Pergamum. There's a lot of symbolism in this letter to the Church of Pergamum, and we're going to start by reading Revelations 2, 12 to 17, and then we will look at some other scriptures to give clarity. What can we learn from this first verse? So Revelations 2, 12 to 17. Write to the angel of the church of Pergamum, thus says the one who has the sharp double-edged sword, I know where you live, where Satan's throne is, yet you are holding on to my name and did not deny your faith in me. Even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death among you where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to place a stumbling block in front of the Israelites to eat meat sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality. In the same way, you also have those who hold on to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So repent, otherwise I will come to you quickly and fight against them, but with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name is inscribed that no one knows except the one who receives it. So this first verse, the one who has the sharp double-edged sword is Jesus. Revelations 1:16 tells us that he had the seven stars in his right hand and a double-edged sword came from his mouth. And we can see that this is again Jesus speaking in these verses. Ephesians 6:17, talking about the armor that we as Christians have to fight with, says that we are to take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It can judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We have the Word of God in written form. It has power. And when we read it and think about it and ask the Holy Spirit to work in us, it transforms us. It equips us. It strengthens us. Jesus used it to combat Satan in the wilderness. And when he had finished fasting for 40 days, he used God's word to fight against Satan, to conquer him. God's word has power. But when Jesus returns, he will not need to use the written word. He will use his voice. His voice will be like a sword, and it will bring judgment. It will be powerful. It will be unstoppable. He will know what is in our hearts and our minds. And the power of God's word is unimaginable. And Hebrews 4:12 gives us a glimpse of that. The next part of the verse, Jesus expresses that he knows where the people of Pergamum live. And we can take this word from Jesus and know that he sees us where we are. He knows where we live. The next verse in Hebrews 4:13 confirms that we are seen and known by Jesus. It says that no creature is hidden from him, and all things are naked and exposed. There is nothing that escapes from God seeing it. Jesus is seeing where the Christians of Pergamum are living. They are a light in the darkness. He sees that the people around them are worshiping other gods. They are worshiping idols, and that Satan has a hold on this region. Jesus is also telling the church that he sees that they are holding on to his name, that they did not deny their faith in him. They stood firm in their faith, even when Antipas was martyred for his faith in Jesus. Antipas is not mentioned anywhere else except here as an example to the Church of Pergamum and to us. This example is for us to stand firm in our faith in Jesus, no matter what comes, and that might include death of our physical bodies. They were facing difficult things. The people around them were hostile towards them, and the evil practices that was happening all around them could have affected them, yet they held on to their faith in Jesus. Jesus is commending them for this. Yet this church has some problems. There are some problems in this church. Even though they were holding on to their faith, there were some other things that had crept in that they didn't deal with. And we're going to investigate that in our next message next week. So right now, I'm going to give you a few minutes to fill out your Connect card that I had talked about earlier with a testimony on it, how God has used His Word to speak into your life in the middle of something that you were going through. And you can look at the reminder in your bulletin to give you a little bit of guidance. I'd invite Colin forward to play us a little bit of music while we do that, and then I will close in prayer. So I encourage you to fill out your Connect cards. So I encourage you, if you need more time, please take that, and please write down how God, through His Word, has spoken to you. And if you can't think of anything today, you still have time to pray about it and process it and write something down so that we can share it, so we can grow in our unity as a body of believers. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word so that we can learn about You and help us to live lives that honor You even in the hardest of circumstances. We know that You see us and that You care about us and You care about every little detail of our lives. Grow our faith and help us to stand up under the attacks of the enemy. Help us to be conquerors. Help us to live lives that honor You. Watch over us each day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven You came running. There was mercy in Your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. The kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, or even in Your suffering, You saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for us. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. When the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the
I just wanted to give a brief announcement this morning. There, I believe, is meeting minutes from our last council meeting in your mailboxes, so I encourage you to read that so that you know there's a little bit of report of things that are going on in the church, as well as things that we're thinking about and making decisions about, so I encourage you to read that. Just want to give a very brief announcement. Most of you are aware that there's a few cameras in the basement as a part of a surveillance system. And we're going to be updating that to try and help support the community ministries that operate in our building. It's a tool that they make use of from time to time. Just before anything changes in the next couple months and a few more cameras come, I wanted you to be aware of that. But there's good discussion about that in the minutes if you take time to read it. So thanks.
Thank you, Doug, for bringing that to our attention, and I encourage you to look at those minutes. There's sign-up sheets in either entrance so that you can sign up for the Pray For Me campaign, so that you can pray for the children and youth in our church, whatever age group they're going to school, including college students as well. As they go throughout their year, you can just take a little bit of time each day and offer up a prayer for them. And I would encourage you to sign up if you haven't already. It takes a little bit of discipline to pray for them each day, whether you put signs up or notes around or reminders in your phone to do that. But when we pray to our Heavenly Father, He hears us. And it is a good thing to be praying for our youth. So will you stand for this parting benediction? May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.